Revelations, the first chapter, verse 8. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Can't get around that. No way we try, we can't get around it. I like to put a word here. Each of them. I know, no doubt, all of us have been driving along the road and big sign come up saying detour. And it takes us round about another way. You know, if we're not careful, we'll do that spiritually. We'll detour. The thought here says, I'm the beginning and the end. Remember seeing one time before I was saved a commercial that they had that said, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. You can come in now and get your car all fixed up and get it done right, or you can kind of snitch and hold back, and later on when it breaks down, it costs you more. You're still going to pay me one way or the other. We're going to face God one way or the other. Whether we do it now, the minimum requirement to be saved, you got to stop sinning. That's the minimum requirement. The minimum requirement to be sanctified, you're going to have to give your all. If you don't do it, you won't get it. Simple as that. And we beat our heads against the wall many times trying to preach to folks and trying to tell folks. And somewhere along the line, you ever been preaching to somebody and it seemed like you preached 6 months to them, and then 6 months later, two on the seat, one says, I got it. And then another 6 months later, another one said, I got it too. Well, it took a whole year for you to get it. But sometimes I'm wondering, we go through time and time again, meetings after meeting, do we really get it? We're going to face it. Down the line. One way or the other, we're going to face it. The Lord said, I am the beginning. And I'm the ending of the whole thing. I don't care where you go, what you do, you're going to face me. You're going to face me somewhere down the line. You're going to have to. Can't get around me. Can't detour around this one. And I looked up the word detour. Detour, a roundabout way or course, especially a road used temporarily instead of a main route. You know, you've been traveling along the road, and pretty soon you get down the road and you're doing pretty good, making pretty good time, and here's a big policeman flagging you down and a big sign saying, you just stand right there and point to go another route. What's going on? Why can't I just continue on like I'm going? Well, you got to go around about the way. You're going to have to, you can't go this way. Something is in the way now. You know, in our spiritual lives and spiritual living, sometimes you and I run into trials, run into something, and we want a detour. We want to go around the thing. Don't want to run through it. Don't want to go this route, but I want to go around it. It's need be that I go through Samaria. May the Lord help us with the thought this evening. Detour. You and I, if we continue in our minds to take shortcuts, a lot of folks like to take shortcuts. And you know, sometimes a shortcut, you didn't see that big trailer in the road over there when you started out to go that route. You was on the main drag, and you figure I could make a little bit more time going the shortest route. And when you get over there on a two-way street, you run into maybe a tractor pulling a trailer. Can't go around him. Sometimes you get in behind that thing, and you stay behind that thing for almost 45 minutes before you really can get going. And all you said, I wish many times now I'd have stayed on the main drag. I wish many times I'd have stayed on the main route. I could have made better time. Oh, listen, may God help you and I. You know you got a lot of time. The devil will try to get you and I to detour, to get right away from the very course that God wants us to take. And we'll detour. We'll go around the bad way. I'll know that I need some help in my soul. Yet I won't put in for it. Yet I won't get down to business with God and checking into the very thing that I love the most. I'm just going to go around the about way. I believe I can take a shortcut through here. I was teaching class one night, and I asked a question. We was talking about getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And we brought up a thought about, many times, folks, we get lost and maybe we take the wrong turn and, we'll try to work ourselves over to where we're supposed to be and lose a lot of valuable time. Instead of going right back, maybe I drove 15 miles and if I turn around and go back down to the 15-mile stretch where I lost, maybe I can pick up better time. But no, we'll go on continually and say, I'm going to work myself over to where I'm supposed to be. You know somebody like that? They got folks like that. And spiritually, we'll do the very same thing. We'll try to work ourselves over to where we're supposed to be. Instead of going back to the point of where I need the help and get the very help that I need to my soul, I'll work myself over. Kind of like sweeping it under the rug. After a while, you got a big lump up here. You got a lot under the rug that has to come out. Oh, God, help us. The Word of God, somebody said, it's the seed. The Word of God is sent to you and I to stir us, to deal with us, to bring us to the place of understanding what God is requiring out of His people. And I have to say, many times, the Word of God come forth, and it cuts, and it digs deep, and yet we'll detour. We'll go around about way. Husbands, love your wife. Can't detour from that. You don't have to do it if you don't want. It's just going to make a bad marriage. But I'll tell you, you still got to face God with it. You still going to have to come before God and explain why you didn't do the things as a husband you were supposed to do. See? Detour. A deviation from a direct course of action. Deviate, to turn aside from course, our way, to depart as from a norm, a purpose, our subject. Then the word stray comes in. You know, you begin to deal with words, and you begin to pick up one word, and then you'll pick up another, and then you'll get another, and then you begin to get the meaning of these things. Say, now, I didn't know that meant all that. Do you know when you begin to start detouring and going the opposite way of what God would have us to do, do you know that are in getting us to stray away from God? Well, why do we have to do what we do? Trusting God is a command. It's something God, that's left in the very thing of God for you and I to trust Him. See? And you and I, we can deviate away from it. We can detour away from it. But it's still boiled down. Had a man said one time, if the Lord don't heal me by Tuesday, I'm going to what? You can forget it, brother. You might as well go ahead and do what you said you were going to do, because now you laid it out before, if He don't heal me by Tuesday. Lord help us. Detour. You know something in the course of detouring? The road's a little bumpy. Curves in the road that I didn't see. And many times when you detour down a road, you don't know where you're going. You don't know anything about the road. Here you go and you're just trying to pay attention to what's going on. And before long, where's this thing taking me? But you know you have folks still will detour away from the very thing that God will have us to do. Oh, you don't have to pray long hours like that. Why should you? Why should we pray? You don't have to do that. Why should we fast? That's not needful. Can't we just ask the Lord for what we want and just go right on? Don't get quiet on me. It is. And the scripture says, watch and pray. A lot of folks do a lot of praying and not watching, and some folks just watch and don't pray at all. The scripture says, watch and pray. They both go together. They're hand in hand. You can't separate the two. If you try to separate the two, you won't get the blessing. You'll find out you and I many times will fall into traps and we'll fall into things that we can't hardly get out of if we don't keep the two together. Well, somebody said, I didn't know you had to do all this when you got saved. Do all what? This is the best time we've ever been in our lives. Stray. The word stray comes into focus. To move away from a group, deviate from the correct course, our goal beyond established limits. Lord help us. You know, God take many times and setting little warning signals and setting little guidelines and setting little things out there for you and I to bump us and to really that we can come to reality. Lord, I need you more now than ever before. And to get our attention. But many times we go the opposite way. I notice many times when the word goes forth and the preacher's doing the very best that he knows how to do and asking the Lord to bless him. And this is a very serious place right here. This is a very serious place right here. And here's the time that everybody is watching what you say and how you say it and where did you get that and one thing and another, and they just really pinpoint you down. Oh, may God help you and I. But what you're not watching, when you're watching the preacher, you need to be watching what the preacher is saying. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost is pinning you down too. Amen. The Holy Ghost is pinning each one of us down every time the word goes forth. He knows as you're receiving it. He knows if you accept that word. He knows just how you feel about it. And sometimes, and many times, we can shut the Holy Ghost down from really dealing with our souls because we just click it off. How many, I asked the question, don't mean for you to raise your hand, but how many of us like to take shortcuts? Think about it now. Well, I'll make better time and faster time taking a shortcut. Some shortcuts prove to be all right. But if sometimes you get in a shortcut and you're thinking it's going to save you time, you lose a whole lot of time. No gas stations? And you get out there and you forgot, you didn't look at the needle, and here I am. Oh, God, have mercy. I'm on a bad way now. You know, many times when we call upon God, it's when the Lord had sent His Word and we fail to really get a hold of it. And then all of a sudden, now I find myself at a low ebb. I find myself when the needle is running real low. And now, oh, Lord, have mercy. I need you now. But you know what would bless the Lord when you and I would handle this thing like it's His business? And we'd be real concerned about God's business? we'd be real concerned about how God feel about the way we behave ourselves. I'm the beginning and the ending. And I like the part where he says, which is, which was, and which is to come. Can't get around it. We can't get around it no way we go. Oh, listen, may God help you and I. I thought about over in St. John, in the chapter over there, the sixth chapter of St. John. Somebody get that for us. When Jesus began to talk to his disciples, when he began to really lay it down on the line, now you've been following me these many years. Now you've been going along, and now it comes down to the time that I know I'm going to have to leave. But it's coming down to the time now that I'm going to have to give you something real solid, have to give you something that you're going to have to stand on, give you something that you're going to have to really deal with. You know, when it all comes down to the real meat of the whole thing, it'll tell on every one of us, won't it? We're talking, coming in the car, it says one place, the scripture says, if we faint in the day of adversity, then our strength is small. Oh, nobody don't have to come in and say, you turn to loose God. And nobody don't have to come in. Oh, it says, if you think in the day of adversity, then thy strength is small. Lord, help us. Talking to a young man the other night, and I thought about over there in the scripture where it says the men that came together to make David king, and I never could get away from this scripture because it's a real blessing to me. He said he had 700, I think it was, chosen men left-handed. Left-handed, 700 of them can hurl a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. That's perfect. Lord, help you and I. Every one of those people, every squadron of those folks, they was perfect. They was experts in war, experts in this, experts in that. Lord, help you and I today. Now, what are we experts in? Lord, help us. Prayer warriors. Oh, God, help us. You mean to tell me if we're so experts in the things of God like this and in talking in the sense of the way the scriptures are bringing it out, why is there such a lacking in the things of the Lord? Why is there such a lacking in the work of God? When it comes down, oh, where's the Joshuas? Where are those? Somebody told me one time, and now you probably heard me say it once before. I say it again. So, Brother Kim, if you don't take care of yourself, you're going to die. I sure is. I sure am. I'm going to die. But now I looked at him and I said, you know what? You helped killing me. Brother Kimball, don't say that. Well, it's the truth. I asked my congregation back home, about a month or so ago. I said, how many of you here have followed every instruction that I've given you? Let me see your hand. Somebody said, well, I tried. I didn't follow it all, but I tried. There's a point here. We're not preaching because we want to. We're not preaching because we'd like to instruct folks. We're preaching because we're called. We're trying to fulfill our calling that we can make heaven to. That's why we're preaching. I assume to fold up my Bible and go on. I don't like to you tell folks what to do and you know they don't want to do it. I don't get a kick out of that. It's a headache. But then on the other hand, how many in the congregation keeps the preachers straight? Lord, help us. Folks, I want you to follow me. Oh, listen. Jesus said, I'm the beginning. I'm the ending. Which is, which was, and which is to come. The preachers can't get by. The Lord's going to deal with every one of us. When I'm concerned about the things of God, there are so many places that need to be filled. And yet, we're sitting around many times and we say, hey, I love God. And I say, how much?
I get it. They're getting real quiet on me now. Detour. When I started out, am I in the same way? Did I get off track somewhere? Did I take a shortcut? Am I trying to work my way over to where I'm supposed to be? You know, it's far better when you and I see a need to get some help for that need and to move up the way we need to move up. Detour. When Jesus spoke to his disciples over there, 6th chapter, St. John, somebody have it.
Jesus said unto them, 53rd verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, ye have no life in you.
Now, I've heard it stating in this meeting that the plow. We need to have that plow tilted down and it begin to dig a little deeper and begin to turn over and break up the fallow ground. But now, it got to the place here, seemed like when Jesus began to talk to his disciples, he's saying to them, except you eat. That's getting right down to the core of it, isn't it? Now, you know, every one of us can go and say, I'm saved and I love the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. You and I are going to have to do more to say that. We're going to have to prove that. We're going to have to prove that very thing. When you say, I love God, the devil heard that too. And we're going to have to prove that. I appreciate the thought when talking about leaving stones, leaving something that our children will be able to know without a shadow of a doubt that we love God, we believe in God. Oh, listen. Many times our children don't know what way to go because they're not seeing us steady as we going. I'm concerned. Oh yeah, we're dying. Every one of us. And you know, it seems like the more work you do, the more work has got to be done. You never get caught up. The minute you lay down to try to take a nap, the phone rings. Hello. Yeah. Brother, I need prayer. Praise God. Sister Sanders, before she passed away, she said one night she called me for prayer and I prayed for her and I didn't know a thing about it. Can you get there? Can you get to that place where you pray for folks and you don't remember? Pretty tired, isn't it? Late hours, isn't it? I wish that I can go home and just lay down in my bed like other folks do. Take me a vacation like other folks do. Enjoy things like other folks do. Detour. Can't get away from it. And you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, except you eat of my flesh. Now get right down to the solid core of it. Young folks, I want to say this to you this evening. Maybe you have seen a lot of disappointing things. Maybe you have seen some things that just wasn't encouraging to you. But I want to encourage you this way. I want to say to you, get a hold of God and get a hold of Him real. Get Him down in your soul. Get Him way down where you will be able to know that without a shadow of a doubt, you have something that you can stand on. In spite of what you see, in spite of what you see floating and going in and out, you will have something. I'm not going to tell you you're not going to be disappointed. Oh, yes. You're going to see some disappointing things. And you're going to hear some disappointing things. But bless God. God is real. He's real. I was talking to a group of folks one day. And that you know the scripture in the Bible. And it said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And the brother said, we don't even know if there be any Holy Ghost. You know, and that's one of the same things some of the young folks said. We've heard you talk about the Holy Ghost. We've heard you talk about dying out and giving your life up. And we've heard all about that. But somebody said to me, he said, we don't know how to do that. So we begin a teaching. Been teaching it now for the last almost year on the Holy Ghost. What it does. How to get it. What you're going to have to do to get it. And just like Jesus said here, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. In other words, if I'm understanding it right, if I'm understanding it correctly, I'm going to have to dig deeper in this thing. If I really want the Spirit of God to live in me, I'm going to have to give up all, Lord. I want you to live in me. I want to be a representative of God. I'm going to have to give up everything. I'm not my own anymore now. Been bought with a price. I can understand now when Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and I've heard different ones say what the thorn was, and maybe I can't explain it all what it was, but he had a thorn. That's what the scripture says. He had a thorn, and he sought the Lord about it, and the Lord told him, said, my grace is sufficient for you. And right behind that, he said, most gladly. He took a different approach at it. Lord, if you said your grace is sufficient and you know it's there and you want to leave it there, then most gladly, Lord, I'll suffer whatever I have to suffer in order to have your blessings upon us. Somebody get that over in 2 Corinthians for us. And hold your place over there in St. John. Many times God can move what he want to move and he can leave what he want to leave. And Brother Salmon preached a message in Ohio one time we were there together. And he said he could just see the Lord in his own mind. Said he can just see the Lord going down there and say, well, I'm going to move this out of the way. I don't want this to hurt my child, but this here I'm going to leave. That'll help him out. God help us. The Lord leaves some things right in the way to help make you and I solid saints of God. What God is looking for. He's looking for experts in war. He's looking for some men and women who can stand strong in God. Men and women are not afraid to step right in and feel whatever spot God will have them to feel. Oh, may God help you and I. I tell you, I start a thing, another thing at home, and I don't know what you think about this, but I said to the congregation, when I'm up here, y'all shooting at me all kinds of questions. I said, now what we're going to do, we're going to take 3 weeks for every one of you to teach Sunday school that is able to do something. And now we're going to shoot some questions at you. We're going to see and how it feels now to stand in that place. And one thing it's going to get you to do, you're going to have to do some praying now because you're not going to just get up there with nothing. I said, and then we're going to find out if you got any abilities. Amen. I don't know what you think about that, but I'm trying to find all kind of ways to work with our young folks. All kind of ways to get them interested. All kind of ways to get them right down into God. I tell you, lots of times they can come with a lot of questions. A question here and a question there. Oh, listen, may God help you and I. But I'm concerned today about our young folks and our middle age and our older being examples and getting a hold of something with God. That wherever we go, wherever we do, we can peep and say, I can perceive that they've been with God. You got that with Paul?
Well, and for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me.
Now I know the Lord heard me. I saw it 3 times. Then he'll get this thing and take it away from me. What happened?
He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee.
You know, the Lord don't go through many times like we do our children, sit them down, try to explain everything. Sometimes the Lord just said just like that, just cut and dry. My grace is sufficient. And that's it. But why, Lord? Why can't my grace is sufficient? And the very answer that Paul gave right after he said that, what was it?
My strength is made perfect in
Most gladly. He didn't have a hang down head behind it. He said, most gladly.
Will I rather glory in my infirmities?
Yes.
That the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Can you see where his concern was? That the power of Christ can rest upon me.
Yeah.
Oh God, help us. We're scratching the surface. Lord, help you and I that the power of God can rest upon us. That's what we're looking for. I see people in the world and all this modern technology, they spend months and days and looking through these little scopes and trying to figure out what this is doing. They work hard at it. And you and I got all the power in the world. All the power at our fingertips. You know, a young man, you get him in a, I'll use the term of Camaro, about 160 on the speedometer, and he got 5 in the floor. And he set up at the light, and you got to have to hold him down because he's tempted to just make that thing rare power. Power. That's something that man seemed like had been able to handle down through the years is power. And they go after it. They try to achieve and get a hold of power. And you and I have all the power in the world. Ooh. Just simply, Lord Jesus, my child needs healing. Glory to God. Amen. And look who we're working with. We are working with God Almighty. And who are we? And yet the Holy Ghost runs to and fro begging us, give your heart to me. Give me your all that I can bless you. I want to do something special for you. I want to help you in every way. I want to give unto you power. The thread on scorpions and serpents and power over all the enemy. This is the kind of power I want to give you. Oh God, help. And yet we're detouring. We're going a roundabout way many times. We don't come right across straight and say, Lord, I'm in need. I need this, Lord. I'm concerned. No, we're not getting any younger. We're getting older. And I'm concerned about all the empty places that could be filled. And we got a nice group of young people, but I'm concerned about the places that God is trying to call them to. And I found out a few years back, this is not a game we're playing. The enemy is shooting real live ammunition. He's shooting to kill us. The thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that they might have life, and I want you to have it more money. I want you to seek me. I want you to get a hold of me. I want you to get a hold of everything that you need. Paul said, I sought it the Lord 3 times about this matter. And he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. And most gladly, Lord, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Got a concern now. I want the work of God. I want the power of God to rest upon us. Read on. Yes, Corinthians.
Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities.
Take pleasure in it now. Read.
In necessities.
Yes.
In persecutions. In distresses for Christ.
See, now Paul ain't saying that if you don't play ball with me, I'm going to take my ball and bat and go home. No, he's not saying that. He's saying, Lord, I'm going to take pleasure and necessities and whatever. You won't hear me murmuring, Lord. You won't hear me complaining. Brother Salmon preached a message here just the other day, and I got a hold of it. I don't know, he probably heard him preach it, but this is the first time he heard him preach it. He said something about, get in, sit down, be quiet, and hold on. That sounds about like the way he does it. And he said, people that stand up in the boat, you got a fella in the boat, he's standing up talking about one thing, and that's all he's doing is rocking the boat. You're going to turn this thing over, brother, sit down. Amen. Lord, help you and I. You're going to turn this thing over. You need to sit down and hold on and keep quiet and let God work. I got a hold of that. I was going through a trial right at the point of that time, and it seems like that thing was coming right at me, and I got a hold of that. Sit down. Shut up. That's the way I got it. Keep quiet was nice. I got shut up. Amen. And hold on. I say, praise God. Oh, listen, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the very spirit we manifest when we hit the very trial we hit. I'm concerned about, somebody said, well, that's just the carnal side of me. Huh? You mean to tell me it's still there? Well, I do that every once in a while. Kind of like Paul says, the thing that I would do, I find that I'm doing something different. God got a better way. God has a better way. And many times you and I, oh, listen, may God help us. Many times you and I say again, we'll have a need, but yet we'll detour. Oh, I'll get some help later. I'm doing fine. I'm doing quite well. You know, many times we think we are doing pretty good until we hit something that we can't handle. And we'll find out we're not doing quite well at all. But we'll fail to acknowledge it and say, Lord, I realize I really need God. In this trial that we were going through, the devil talked to me, seemed like just dealing with my mind as much as he could. I tell you, I never had that come against me in my life like I had it come in the last couple of weeks. And I was talking to my wife said, honey, we need some reinforcement. We need the Lord to really bless and undertake. And he did. Right in the midst of it, he gave me a song. What seemed to harm you would turn into everlasting joy. I got a hold of that. And I thank the Lord for it. But oh, listen, I'm concerned that you and I, when we say we're saints of God, when we say we love God, I'm concerned about that. We're seeing a lot. We're seeing a whole lot. We're saying we want a God's army. And one of them left-handed fellows that can hurl a stone at a hair's breadth not missed. Oh, listen. But many times we detour. We go another route, a roundabout way. We'll take something that's less painful. And we'll find a way out of it. And sometimes we're pretty good talkers. We'll find a way to talk about it and believe ourselves. I got a brother-in-law of mine. That fella can... He get to telling untruths and he believe himself. He get to crying and he get to, oh, he'll make folks believe he's telling the truth. And I know the fellow. I know him, see. Many times you and I, we're not careful. We'll get to finding places of justification. We'll get to finding place of why I did what I did.
And if we'll settle down, God will show us some things. Jesus said, over in St. John now, He said, except you eat of my flesh. And it seemed like to me that wasn't a hard message to preach. Because He had been talking to them all the way down the line. He'd been telling them He was going to be going home and He's coming back to work with them. And He'd been telling them all of this all the way down the line. But yet when it came to that sermon that particular day, all the disciples had gathered in. No doubt they had some good times together. No doubt they seen some miracles done. No doubt they seen quite a few things. But when Jesus got right down to the point and getting ready to go now, I don't have time to play games with you. I'm going to have to lay it right down on the line. Except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood and really get a hold of something, you're not going to make it. We're going to have to prove it. I hear many times, and different ones may say, well, I don't know what the Lord had for me. Why don't you find out? It'd be a good time to find out now. I'm working for a man. Jesus, that is. That He's entrusted into my hands and into yours His business. I believe the scripture can support this. And He's going off somewhere and He's coming back. And He's coming back to see how did you and I handle His business. What kind of profit that we made with His business? What kind of exchanges that we've made with His business? And you know, many times a lot of folks are selfish. Lord, I didn't do anything with mine. I just tried to keep it and keep my own soul saved. I didn't try to do anything with it. I didn't go out and make any exchanges. I didn't go out visiting. I didn't go out doing anything. I just kind of like kept this, put it on the side somewhere. Which one of us would have a business and have someone work for you that didn't handle your business just right? And you kept them on. You kept them on the payroll. It cost you money, you lost, and you keep them on the payroll. Jesus got right down to the facts. He said, except you eat of my flesh. Read on now.
So eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood.
Yes.
Hath eternal life.
And
I will raise him up at the last day.
I will raise him up at the last day. I'll say again to us all, casual Christianity is not going to get us to heaven.
That's right.
No. Casual Christianity. We go to service and we go to prayer meeting. Just casual. Nothing really just digging me up and rooting me up to cause me to really have a burning desire for the things of God, the work of God, the people of God, souls in general. If nothing is not really stirring me and causing me to just boil over, Lord, have mercy on us, then we're just casual Christians. Casual Christianity will not get us to heaven. Brother Pinkerton used to tell us one time, I remember his words to us, we little fellows. He said, good intentions are stepping stones to hell. People intend to do better. People intend to do a little bit more. But to seem like somewhere or another, they don't get there. Good intentions. Stepping stone to hell.
If I sit at home and worry about the crime rates down our way, I will get nothing done. I will get nothing done. I'll be afraid to go out of my house. Now they're coming inside. So what they're doing now? Smoking me out. So they're going to get it one way or the other. So I find out the best way to do it is get right in the midst of it and tell them about God. We was doing some witnessing one day, and there was gambling and shooting dice, and Brother Herschel and I, we were over there preaching the gospel, and this man losing his money, and he said, "Why don't you get away from here?" The other man said, "That man telling us right." He said, "We need to get up and leave." Picked up the dice table and went around the building. We stopped. We went around there. Praise be to God. I want to tell you something. There's a better way now. See, we praying, "Lord, we don't want these gambling boats. You know what I do now? I go right down by the gambling boat and have a service." Amen. Can't get you to move it. Don't try to move me. Right out here, we had a service, having a baptismal service out there, and folks, they was going to gamble, but they stopped just for a little while to see the service. Glory, hallelujah. And all of these things are studied, crowding in, and we're praying, "Lord, move them out the way." And the Lord's saying, "Why don't you get stirred? And why don't you go down and talk to somebody?"
Yes,
fellow lost all his money and jumped over in the river. They're trying to drag him out. That's the fellow I need to get to now. I need to get to him more so now. He got broken. He's about to ready to lose his mind. He needs Jesus more so. I'm concerned. And we play the circuits. We go from one camp meeting to another. You may come to our meeting. Come to ours. And we go camp meeting to camp meeting, year in and year out, camp meeting to camp meeting. And it's time sometime to break away. It's time sometime to break away from the circuit and get out of here and begin to deal with something out this way now. Lord help us. And some of the circuits just about know who's going to be there. They expect you to be there. Amen. I heard Brother Bell preach a message one time. He said, "We deal with our children 1, 2, 3. And it comes to a point where our children know we're going to get to 3. Before we really get out of the box now. So he got 3 chances. 1, 2, 3. Now there he goes. So he said one time, "Why don't we surprise them? Don't go 1, 2, 3. Say 3. Whatever. Surprise. You see the difference? That's what we need to do sometimes. We wait for the devil to come on our territory. Let's deal with him without the camp now. Don't let him get, when he get on the inside of the camp, he got too close. We need to get out here and stop him somewhere now. I don't know what you think about this, but I feel the Lord gave it to me. We're detouring. We're going a roundabout way. A shortcut. And it's leading nowhere. The simple fact is, if you have a need and you know you have a need, get some help for that need. You can move up the line a whole lot quicker being honest with ourselves and say, "I have a need, I need help. I didn't come here to play with it, I want to deal with it." Amen. It'll keep the preachers living longer. I was preaching out in a certain part of the area one time, and this individual came to the altar. And here we're at the altar, and you know, generally I said, "Well, what do you want the Lord to do for you?" He said, "I'm not going to tell you." Now, wait a minute. This is not a game we're playing. You come to get help, and I got to figure out what your problem is? You need this? No. You need that? Come on. See? We stayed there about a half hour. And she's playing a game. Finally, we looked at each other and said, all right, well, since you don't want no help, you have a good day. Wait. Now I want a deal. When we recognize that I have a need and we need help, it's far better to go and deal with that need straight up. Straight up. Don't play games with it. Deal with it straight up. Unless you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Read.
59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it?
Now, here his disciples are saying it's a hard saying. Now, that tells me something. Here you got one group of people just casually going along. Then you have another group of people that are really digging. See? And here the disciples, after they heard this saying, they said, that's a hard saying. Read on.
Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at him. He said unto them, doth this offend you?
You know, I would to God that every time a message is preached, that everyone in the congregation would receive it. But it don't happen that way. If you spiritually can see how that word has been batted around, it would surprise us. After the word of God leaves the preacher's mouth, if you and I can see spiritually what happens to that word when it goes out there, it will floor us. What happens? This is a hard saying. What else he said?
He said, what if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth.
Yes.
The flesh profiteth nothing.
Profiteth nothing.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not.
I want to say this evening. I believe there are some of us who are here tonight and find it hard to accept this thought. Whatever the reason is. But I want to say this, and I'm finding out. If we're going to live for God, we're going to have to live for God.
Yes.
Because people are watching us, and they're paying close attention to us more than we ever know. We have families that want to be saved, that I like to see saved, children. And it's going to take everything we know and understand to live before them, to be an example before them, that they can get a hold of some solid truth. You can watch it now. Since the short time I've been saved, I've seen quite a few things begin to change. And you know, we have to explain those things. We have to explain them because our children now and their children coming up, you don't have to do all this. Why do we have to do all this? Lord, help us. I am the beginning and the ending. We can't get around God
I had somebody say to me the other day, and they know the teachings, husband separated, and he said to me, I have a good man now. Why can't he be my husband? I didn't even bother to go into that. You know why. I'm just wasting valuable time to try to go all over this. You know why. You know the teachings.
Amen.
And I don't have to continue explaining this over and over again when you know. I believe some of the things we can avoid. Looking for something to get away from solid truth. Looking for something and looking for a blessing from you or me as a minister to say, all right, I understand your problem and yes, it's hard for you, so we're going to make a little loophole for you. No loophole. John the Baptist got his head cut off, did he?
Sure did.
Because he told what? It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He lost his head. Didn't take very long. And we're trying to save ours. Because we're afraid many times to, like the old folks say, tell it like it is. Lord, help us. I love the Lord this evening. I'm not telling you something that I don't believe. Had a man tell me the other day, he said, don't ask me to believe something that you don't. But the scripture says many of his disciples, they turn and walk no more with him. They was offended. Did they get offended because Jesus began to tell them of a deeper truth? They'd walk with him. They had ate with him. They had prayed with him. They had shared supper together. And now all of a sudden, because he tell them of a deeper truth to consecrate their lives greater to him, they became offended. And they walked no more. The scripture said many of them. And when he said many, I believe that was almost all of them. It got so down to the point where he himself, Jesus, looked at his disciples and only those were there. He said, will you go away too? No, Lord. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going? What can we do? No. We're going to stay right here. We're going to work with it. If it kills me, we're going to work with it. You know, we have to come to reality, and we got to come to the place where Moses was one time when he chose of his own choosing. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. You know, I thought about thought before I get away from it. Marriage comes in here. I've heard folks, they claim that they prayed through and waited on God, and then I turn around and hear them say, I wished I'd have never married him. And I look at them and say, did you pray through? Well, I must have been mistaken. You made a great mistake now, didn't you? Now you want the preacher to come in and separate you and give you somebody else. Can't do it.
Oh, no.
Can't do it. You got your headache, and may God bless you. And we're going to pray with you. And that's about the best we can do. We can lay them in prayer with you. But you got your headache because you didn't wait. Because you didn't wait. You rushed on into it. Oh, he's a good-looking fellow. Is he good-looking now? You keep right on there, see? Telling you to love him a little bit more. But I don't. You need to learn to. Because he's going to be yours as long as he lives. Amen?
Amen.
Can you see why we preach and try to tell you, wait on the Lord, pray through? Can you see why we lose sleep praying for you? It ain't the prettiest feeling all the time. that's going to make you happy.
That's right. That's
true. All the beautiful girls going to make you happy. Can you get any prettier than Jesus? Lord, help us. I see so many marriages. If God don't undertake, they're headed for the dump. Old and young. And then we're trying to tell our young folks, you need to wait on the Lord. And they're looking at you and say, well, you didn't either. Can you see? It's a hard sin. After you got married and you thought it was going to be all honey and you find out some salt was added to the thing. Now you want to just take it back and give it back, which you can. I told somebody one day, I said, if you just wishing that they hurry up and pass on, I said, now that ain't right either. They're going to outlive you. 9 times out of 10, they'll be around. You gone. So as my dad always said, now you've got yourself into this thing, let's make a good go of it. Amen. Let's make a good go of it.
Yes, that's the best solution.
That's the best solution. To get right in and say, Lord, I made the wrong move. Lord, I should have waited on you, but it didn't. But Lord, I want you to give me love for this man. A love for this woman like I've never had before. And help me to love her. And help me not to wonder about what I'm going through. And what I've got myself into. Get in. Sit down. Keep quiet. And hold on. That's all right, isn't it? You pray for me. I love the Lord. And we're right in the midst of people that seems like the fear of the Lord is leaving the earth. It seems like it's getting more harder and harder to convince folks about Jesus. But I can't quit trying. You can't quit trying. And if you're looking for us to, these young preachers around our age, if you're looking for us to make 80 and 90 years old, quit looking. I don't believe we're going to make that. But we are praying and trusting God that you young people are getting a place with God that He can fill you full of His Spirit. That He can use you in His service. I'll say personally here today, we're hurting. The ministry is hurting. We're hurting, folks. It won't be long, we'll be moving off the scene. But we're hurting. In other words, in plain English, we need help. Where's the Joshua's? Where's the teachers? Where's the song leaders? Where are the burden bearers? I'm finding out a minister is just like old Pac Mew. He's loaded on his back. And he'll carry it until he drops. I don't know what you think about this thought this evening. But I want to plead this way. Let's not be casual Christians. Let's be genuine. Let's be for real. You pray for me.